Ben Baka.
Here he comes. Look at it. I mean, how could you miss someone like that? Look at the way he's dressed.
He's coming. Brian Murphy is a sharp-dressed man.
What bubble?
Well, I don't have the red comb.
That's terrible. Tell him, Lou. Tell him, Sir Charles. That's terrible.
That's a pretty good impression.
That's terrible. Man, you're crazy. We have with us one of the finest dressed men in the Twin Cities. Maybe in the state. I don't know. Brian Murphy joins us, as he does whenever I need him to.
We need him to.
Because I use him as my stunt double when I'm gone from here.
Understudy.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Look out.
Protégé.
But I would say to you, number one, thank you for filling in a couple weeks ago, wasn't it? A couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it was great.
I appreciate
that. It's
the
best Friday of my life.
Still waiting for that kickback.
Yeah. And where's that? Yeah.
Working on that.
You gave me a pen. You gave me a pen.
Yes.
You gave me a pen.
You what?
Oh, you and your movies, boy.
I don't know.
Say
movies.
Anything. It's just sad.
Say what?
It's just sad.
What do you want me to say?
It's just sad.
I'll say anything.
You will. Go ahead and ask him.
John Cusack.
Uh-oh.
Who?
That's a shame.
Let's move on.
High Fidelity?
Yeah, of that ilk, but a little earlier, late 80s.
But he was in High Fidelity,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, great movie.
Very well done. Yeah. There was a world before 1990, Ben.
Whether you know that or not.
Was there really?
You're a child.
We've been down this road.
I'd love to know where this is going,
anymore.
Though. Yeah, leave him alone.
I'm not going to beat up on
him. That's
why
you're not his friend.
No, stop it, you guys. You guys are both lying. I can't wait. I mean, two Fridays ago when Brian Murphy filled in for you, the best Friday of my life, by the way, Aaron Hicks.
Man. And well, there you go lying again.
Chemistry.
No, I'm kidding. But seriously, we have you for an hour, and so let's get right into it. Viking stuff, let's kind of look back at the week that was. The superstar and I argue about potential free agent visits and sign we think they should sign, why they haven't signed anybody of any like real big splash. Obviously, Sean Hill was the only outside free agent we've signed.
And I think a good pickup.
Oh,
I think
for sure.
When you think about the price tag and what he brings to the table, and a guy that has the right attitude under the right coaching staff that he's had before, and with Teddy Bridgewater, I think that this makes really good sense.
But all we've done is cover our bases. Last year, we haven't gotten better at all.
I talked
about
this with him.
Drafted yet either.
Well,
correct? I had him talked down from the ledge a little while ago, and now he's back.
We still need a cornerback. We still need a safety. We still need at least a linebacker
and a
left guard.
Middle linebacker now, yeah. Jasper Brinkley gone, which most people thought
we
that
need
that
four
was
starters.
Okay. It's Friday. This started on Tuesday, right? You know
correct.
How this goes. I mean, it's been a whirlwind week, unlike any in the NFL before in terms of
the deals,
the money moving around, the personnel, the player for player swaps. Obviously, is a new world order. But this is it's March 13th, Ben.
But when's the last time the Vikings have gone this long? And I know they signed Sean Hill, so don't go after me for that.
No, I'm not.
But how long is it? I mean, when has it been this long since they've signed a guy?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the calendar to see a guy, but there is...
I don't think it's been this long before.
I mean, the top echelon have moved, correct?
And so is the second tier.
All the second
most
tier?
Most of them.
And if you're going to be one of the teams that takes a chance with most of your cap money and spending it on those kinds of players and making a direct hit on your cap number right away instead of being patient, I mean, if you're a team that is that desperate for an Ndamukong Suh or, Haloti Ngata or whoever it is.
Sam Bradford.
That is, by the way, like maybe the biggest thing that happened in this free agency is that Sam Bradford thing.
What a flop. I mean, just
I don't know what that is. I still
Philly.
Don't.
Philly in general. I mean, that is
a... Philly, too.
I mean, if you think
about
it... If you're a Philly fan, you know, your entire... I mean, you might be excited, but for a moment there, you thought, I'm going to burn the building down. I mean, it was that
possibly.
Close. Yesterday, just kind of, okay, now not only do you add a player like Murray, you also chop a leg out, maybe half a leg, knee down on one of your division competitors as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
Psychological.
I think if I was a Philly fan, I'd still be wanting to burn the house down. I don't know. DeMarco Murray ran into the ground last year, 400 and how many carries? You don't
so
have
what,
Jeremy
he's not
Macklin
gonna be functional
anymore.
Because of that?
Well, he's gonna,
he might not be in 3 years, but he won't be in September.
But he's not going to be the bell cow in Philadelphia. They have Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles.
The bell cow.
He will be the bell cow.
He's not going to be the bell cow.
I mean, we are calling them pieces of meat. Let's just say that right now.
Well, I know one thing. He's going to be the main guy. He's going to get the most carries.
Well, sure, but he's not going to get as many carries. He's not going to be the only guy. They have so many running backs.
He's going to be stable, but I mean, that situation, I think the Matthews will basically just give him a breather. And I think that Sproles is one of those third down backs you can't cover out of the backfield. You throw the ball to that guy.
And St. Louis. Okay. Are they going to, you know, who's going to be able to block St. Louis? I mean, the Vikings are going to have to face the Rams again this upcoming year, too.
That's true.
You know, that St. line Louis, could get caved in. Well, look at their defensive line.
They get better?
I think they're a good front.
Did they get better?
We'll find out.
On the line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd they get better? As a team? How'd they get better on the line?
I would say between Quinn and Long being back and healthy again.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't add anybody is what I'm asking for, via free agency.
I think they actually did, to be honest. I think I'd have to check that up again. I'm not keeping too much of a track of the St. Louis Ram defensive line, but I would say that they're going to be a better team overall. Just because of Nick Foles, too, by the way.
But I'm saying, you know, you were upset because they haven't made the splash move.
I don't want a splash move, and I don't want big money guys. That's another thing we argued about. I don't want the Ndamukong Suhs or the Mike Iupatis, but I want a second-tier guy. I wanted Clint Bowling, let's see here, Raheem Moore.
We were breaking it down the cornerback bit the other couple weeks ago, right?
You and I were.
That's what I mean. So you feel like that's a hole that probably should be filled first.
Well, I think the left guard, the Clint Bowling thing, I think we should have done whatever it took to get him.
The Bowling thing is this. That was my big deal. The Bengals knew what they were going to do, and so did Bowling. They went out and found live money to force the ante to go up, and for his team that he's already played for, the most comfortable with, and already a starting position player with, his money comes up significantly because he's found live money out on the table. Their team comes back and says, fine, we'll take you. And he wanted that answer. He wanted to stay there.
How did you just watched this play out for a long time. Mm-hmm. The new dynamics of social media how it has now created the dynamics of the open market look what happened with Cleveland and Miami.
Unbelievable.
That has never happened before.
Oh, with Jordan Cameron.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable.
And the media pretty much got used. I mean,
totally.
The agent played off Cleveland and Miami by saying that this is a done deal when it really obviously isn't.
I cannot believe that.
But that couldn't happen in real time before.
You're right.
Before Twitter.
Oh, I mean,
and it's fascinating now that it's one thing for the public and the media to be involved in that, but when they're used to the media is used to that extent in the negotiating process, that's a new world order.
It is. It really is. It's a new tactic, and I mean a new leverage and a new game that they can play to get something to happen sooner than later. And we're looking for a break right now. We're going to go to a break.
Doesn't time fly back when you're having fun. Woo! With my friend, Ryan Murphy?
He's not your
Just got a little too deep, though. We got off of positions, and we started talking about new dynamics and new world orders. So.
I'm going to have to look at that Ram thing, too. Rams. Well, they signed on Thursday or Tuesday, they signed two guys, Alex Carrington from the Bills, Michael Brockers, third-year tackle, Kendall Langford.
That's the defensive lineman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's who I remember. Yeah. It's a decent player, but they're not. The splash is with Nick Foles in that deal with all the compensatory draft choices up to the Eagles. I don't know what the Eagles are doing. I never will. But the practice sessions, enough to scare Gore all the way down to Indianapolis. Enough to. I don't know why Murray wants to go there, by the way.
Because money.
Mariota says it's a good chance he's going there, too.
21 Ooh, million guaranteed will be that. Yeah. The Oregon connection, yeah.
Well, Chip Kelly, who's just a buffoon, said he's already been offered a first-round draft pick for Sam Bradford. If he's being offered a first-round draft pick for Sam Bradford, why didn't the Rams take the first-round draft pick that was being offered for Sam Bradford?
Good question. We're going to have to
talk
about that
later. Goods, isn't he? I mean, guy can't stay healthy.
He can't stay on the field. He's a very good football player at the college ranks. We know that. Hasn't played that much in the pros, though. I think 48 games total and a 400 batting average at that when he's a starting quarterback. Jim Rich is up next, though. 5:15, it's that time. It's the witching hour.
He's going to be in a car, isn't he? He's always in a car.
You can tell.
Always going somewhere better.
Or mailing it in. That's what he does really well. Jim Rich next. Or not. That's Radioactive Sports.
Minnesota Golden Gopher Women's Hockey on 105 The Ticket.
Votta shoots, she scores! Hat-trick for Rachel Votta!
The Gophers look to win their third national championship in 4 years.
Huge save, Levier!
The NCAA quarterfinals from Ritter Arena. Gophers and the Rochester Institute of Technology Tigers. Saturday at 4 p.m.
Minnesota Golden Gopher Women's Hockey.
Cameron Easy, save, rebound! They score! Minnesota wins!
Championship hockey is played on 105 The Ticket. Feel that?
Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
My bruise on my butt is almost gone.
Oh, I wanna be rich.
Did you guys miss me?
Oh, I wanna be rich.
Significant shrinkage.
Oh, I wanna be
rich.
It'll be a tough stretch of games, there's no question. Good to see where we're at compared to these guys who have been, you know, they've had a pretty good hold on their division lead for a while now. They've been a really good team all season, so starts with these guys. It'll be a good challenge.
You tell him, Zach, I mean, if anyone can talk the talk and walk the walk, or skate the skate for that matter, it's Zach Parise. And if there's anyone better than breaking that down and trying to loosely translate what Zach Parise might say, even after missing Chicklets, it would be Jim Rich.
How you doing?
Relatively well. You know, Ben was ripping on you, but I had your back.
Not.
I had your back.
You know what's funny is I'm actually driving to the post office to mail this in.
That a funny? See what was going on. You heard what was going on. The superstar and Brian Murphy, they just continually throw everybody under the bus, including me. And I'm just the guy that's sitting back here trying to do all the work and smooth things over because these two guys wreck all of our relationships.
Oh, my
really?
God. Are you okay, Adrian? Is it going to be okay for you?
Well, I'm uneasy about being in here. I'm uneasy.
What are you running from? What are you running from?
My wife doesn't necessarily want me to come back here. She thinks you guys are buffoons. I don't have a wife. So that's all fine.
I was going to say, we're learning a lot here.
Wait a minute. I didn't know that. Just yesterday, he was trying to get set up with our traffic girl.
Yeah, dang.
Well, I don't know. Look, maybe they went to Vegas last night. Are you telling us?
Maybe.
Okay, well.
You do look a little haggard.
Yeah, that's the problem. I've been up. I don't sleep when I go to Vegas, and that's the problem. But I flew back, and I'm fine. I'm fine here, guys. Let's talk about things
that
matter.
James, you have to tell us about this run that we have looking at us right in the face, this run of teams that will ultimately and inevitably test our squad to the max. This is going to be how good we are, really, right?
Absolutely. This is the change of the season, because from now on until they make the playoffs and maybe eventually are eliminated or hoist Lord Stanley's cup, they will not face any more cupcakes. They have one left on their schedule, Toronto, and that's on the road. The rest are either in the playoffs or in contention. So from here on out, you're playing the best of the best of the NHL, and they can figure out where they stand. If they come through this relatively unscathed, well, then we know we're in for a long spring, early summer, chasing the cup. If they get killed, fall out of the playoffs, we're done and we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9. Thanks for laying it out there, just black and white as it is. But these next five games, we talk about the fact that it's basically they're going into the wood chipper. But being the hottest team in the NHL coming out of the All-Star break, they could theoretically win all five of these games, these next five games coming up, both on the road and back home here at the XL Energy Center. I asked the superstar earlier in the show, what is failure and what is success when we look back a week from tomorrow when we've played Anaheim, St. Louis, Nashville, Washington, and St. Louis?
I'd say 3-2 is a success. Anything less than that, a bit disappointing. And, you know, I think they got to be a little bit over 500. The number appears to be 96 points. They're at 81, so they got to pick up, you know, 15 more points out of these last 15 games. So a 500 pace will get you in as one of these wild card teams. And, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But basically, four teams have to pass the Wild for them not to get into the playoffs because of the convoluted mess with the Pacific, with Vancouver, Calgary, and San Jose all fighting it out in L.A. on that side. So two teams will plug in there. So basically it's down to Winnipeg and whichever team falls out of favor on that side to get one of these wild card spots. And right now the Wild are two up on the Kings and three up on the Jets.
So, Jim, with that being said, we've done everything we can to get to the point where we find ourselves right now. What's left in the tank? Is there enough there still to get in? 500 gets us in. What would still be left, do you think, knowing hockey the way you've known it and covered it for so many years? What's left for the playoffs when you get in as that wild card? Let's just talk hypothetically.
Well, in the NHL, it's one of the few sports where you can be the top seed and you can get eliminated right away. And again, it all comes down to goaltending in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Those are the teams that get there. You know, you've seen the Kings ride quick to get to the Cup. Montreal right now with Carey Price, he's carrying that team right now. Dubnyk has been carrying the Wild. So if you look at how the Wild are going into the playoffs and they don't suffer any more injuries between now and the end, and they get back even some more of these guys that are limping around the lobby there at the XL Energy Center, you put those guys back on the ice, they should be in pretty good shape. As long as Dubnyk holds up and, you know, doesn't get nicked up and he comes in as hot as he is right now, the Wild, I would almost imagine, would be, you know, it wouldn't be a shock if they knocked off somebody in that opening round.
A couple things I'm going to be watching, Jim, are, you know, tomorrow night, another back-to-back. I assume, if they win tonight, I don't see any reason for them not to go back to Dubnyk. I mean, I know it could be a tough game tonight, but, you know, you just cannot afford to rock that streak that he's been on. If they lose tonight, that might be an opportunity to take a look at Kemper, just because, you know, if you're going to look at the, you can make the argument, well, they have to have him to win again, too. But at some point, they do got to get Kemper in maybe a few minutes. But here's the thing. They always play Anaheim tough. They've lost a bunch of one-goal games to them. They're going to Nashville on Tuesday. They played probably their best road game of the year a couple weeks ago there and came out with a victory. Right. St. Louis, they have three games still left with St. Louis before the end of the season. In fact, I think the last game of the year is in St. Louis, too. This is a team that traditionally not only defeats the Wild, but physically manhandles them, particularly in St. Louis. I'm going to be more interested in seeing how they play against St. Louis down the stretch than any other team, because they've been able to roll with Nashville and Chicago. Anaheim, they played tight. They don't have the points with them. But if they can't, and they are trending toward a first-round matchup with St. Louis, if they can't hang with them physically, and I think that's where the Stewart acquisition helps, but if they can't hang with them, it's going to be an early exit, because St. Louis is in their kitchen.
Correct. Yeah, that is the one team you don't want to draw in the first round, at least from what we've seen historically between the two clubs. And, you know, that's what you also need in the playoffs. Besides goaltending, you need grit, you need size, you need to grind your opponent into submission. And that's what St. Louis has been able to do in the past. You know, last year, Ryan Miller didn't get the job done. They've moved on. Elliott's done a nice job. Allen's been good for them, so their goaltending's adequate. But what they do is they just come at you, and they pound you, and they get ugly. I don't know if you saw the game with Winnipeg this week, but it was just every whistle. They're sitting there pushing, shoving, slamming somebody against the glass, trying to rearrange what teeth they have left in their mouth. So they are going to be definitely a team that's going to be interesting. And now, you know, I like you thinking, I think if they win tonight, I think you throw Kemper in there, because you're going to St. Louis, it's a back-to-back, you're going to be tired, and Yo's probably going to say, well, you know, this may be the one that we're going to let slide.
So you're going to concede defeat if you win today?
I think so. I'm not saying concede defeat.
I know.
But I'm saying, you know, like you said, he's got to get in sometime. And let St. Louis have their way with Kemper. If they're going to beat us, you know, let's kind of keep Dubnyk a bit of a mystery from them. Let's not let them see him yet. Let's wait until we're healthy. We're not coming in off a plane the night before. And then maybe throw the Dubinator at him.
The Dubinator.
Doobie, doobie, doo. Well, that sounds very Childress-esque there with that psychology there.
No kidding. I like the way you think, you dirty, sly dog, you. Jim Rich from Fox 9. Are we pretty much set, you think, at that first wild card spot? Or is there any way we can overtake Chicago, who has five more points than we do?
They could. I mean, look at the wins piling up. Why not? Whoever thought they'd be in this spot? Who thought they would fly past Winnipeg? I mean, at one point, they were 12 points back at Winnipeg. We were all just giving up on the Jets and focusing on the last wild card spot. So, yeah, you can't say no with what they could do to Chicago. Hawks without Patrick Kane barely beat Arizona last night, which is a team that's eliminated, done, and setting dates for the golf course right now. They don't care, and they only beat them 2-1 last night. So, yeah, the Hawks without Kane are a different animal, and they're definitely vulnerable to the Wild catching them.
What part of you doesn't think, or you're saying save the Dubinator, What that Dubinator needs to see St. Louis once before our supposed matchup that could very well happen, very likely happen. I just thought maybe sooner than later, a little sooner than later to find out, and then give him a breather. But I understand where you're going. I like that. I kind of like that. Do you think that Matt Cook, some more grit, will Cook be ready at the end of the year?
I don't even know if Cook is big enough to mess with St. Louis. Stewart's more of the character.
Wow.
There's got to be somebody to... Oh, wait till you see him. You watch tomorrow night, and you watch the way they play.
David Backus.
Oshie and Backus, and they just keep rolling lines, and they're loaded with Tommy. Okay,
you just said Matt Cook's not big enough to deal with him?
Well, it's not that he's not big enough, but he's a dirt ball. So if you need a guy to go take a run at a guy, that's who you throw Matt Cook.
Of course he is.
Oh, you're healthy again? Okay, well, we did fine without you. Now go take out that guy's knee type of deal. But Jim Rich, thank you for all the help today. What do you got coming up Sunday night, Fox 9 Sports Now segment, 10:35?
Well, if I don't fall over dead like last weekend, I'll try to get that guy in the room there with you to join us.
Brian Murphy?
Wow, Murph is good, too. That's a good selection.
I know. Murph would knock it out of the park.
I mean, the
superstar would be great, too. How about a combo? You know, we do have more than one chair.
That's fine with me.
I don't want to drive to Eden Prairie.
That's so far away, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
On a Sunday night, traffic's horrendous.
Our own prima donna.
I can pull a 494 for you, if you'd like. If you want me to make sure, you know.
Send a car.
I'll get them out of the way. Would you like to have you pick us up? Would you like me to send one of... I could have Vince, our photographer.
You would love to have Vince.
I could have Vinny pick you up.
Yeah. Perfect. The last time that happened, I was almost dead, just trying to get from here to the Metrodome. So, no more Metrodome, by the way. We're going to take a little break and come on back. But, Jim, you're just very, very good. You're hot on Friday. You started off so sick and unable to do anything. Today, you were like an MVP.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Try to do well so you remember over the weekend to have me back next week.
Oh, we would never forget you. You are the...
You're the best in business.
You're the wind beneath our wings, as Bette Midler once said.
Yeah.
As long as there's not some wind coming out of you guys, that's okay.
Well, there is plenty of that, but it's a different kind.
Well, give me a ring if you need me Sunday night, okay? I'll leave it wide open.
All right, Murph, the door is open for you, too.
There it is.
You guys discuss it during the rest of the show.
What am I, chopped liver?
And I'll listen to wait for the answer.
We will talk, we will discuss, and we will get back to you by way of email. Okay, we don't have time to be doing text calls. We don't have time to talk anymore either, young man.
Okay, fine, see ya.
Yeah. Jim Rich just dropped him like a bad habit. Brian Murphy up next, too. Oh, by the way, caller number 7 at 651-989-9105 wins a pair of tickets to the WCHA Final Five Championship game on Saturday, March 21st at the Xcel Energy Center. So call 651-989-9105. Caller number 7. Good luck.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I'm starting to wonder if A-Rod and Lance Armstrong share the same brain. Somehow they'll always find a way to be the victim.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station. 105 The Ticket.
That's what Holtz means in German. Hardwood.
It does. And I was wondering what Holtz meant. I've always wondered that, but apparently in German it means hard wood.
I'm kicking my ass, dear.
You need serious professional help.
Can I be excused then?
Get out of here, you low-life scum.
I just asked. We have Brian Murphy joining us now, the sharpest of all dressed men. And undressed men, for that matter.
Oh, jeez.
It's a weird thing to say. It's very strange. But he is indeed sitting here fully clothed and sharply dressed. And you know what? I don't know what we're going to do with Adrian Peterson. Do you have any idea? I don't know. Ben Holson and I have been talking about this for weeks and weeks on end.
And we disagree. He thinks he's gone. I think he stays.
I've been pretty much from September on thinking he was gone,
and
it's kind of wound its way. And even after last week's, refugee mission down to Houston and kiss the ring and all that. Yeah. I thought
then Monday's trip to Manhattan he had to fly.
That was a different mission.
Yeah, well,
that was different.
That was the money men went there, and it just there was not enough good vibes. But the more you really start to think about it, and the way the running back market has kind of solidified, mm-hmm. we've seen what these numbers are. We know what the market is, right? Okay, we got McCoy. 5 years, $40 million, 26.5 guaranteed. Marshawn Lynch, 3 years, $31 million, $12 million guaranteed. DeMarco Murray, big one yesterday, 5 years, $42 million, 21 guaranteed. And Peterson, he's still scheduled to earn $12.75. And who has the leverage here at this point?
Vikings.
Of course they do. Yeah. And that's why I'm sort of now inching back into that sense, well, I can see them just letting this play out, yep, because at some point Adrian's going to have to make a decision, which is, do I play or do I go out, yep, publicly and say, yep, I am not going to play, and here is why I'm not going to honor my contract, which will pay me more than anybody else will. You do roll the dice if you're going to have a malcontent, and it'll be a circus. But if he doesn't show up for that first mini camp and you start fining him, his options are limited, and this is a guy that already missed 15 games, and apparently the biggest thing in his life is to pursue Emmitt Smith's record. So you see where this is going, and mm-hmm, if there'd have been any puffs of white smoke about a trade, it would have come out this week or anybody talking, and it hasn't.
Exactly. So what you're saying is also that if he decides to sit out, that we can expect to see him in 2016 in Rio de Janeiro in the Olympics.
As a bobsledder, or maybe doing the...
That's a Summer Olympic. Didn't he say he can run the 200 or something?
That's why I bring that up.
Relay race.
He was really trying to pull that one off.
Yeah.
He really tried to use that.
Or I could see him doing the Ricky Williams World Tour, you know, finding himself.
Yeah. But he has a family, whereas Ricky Williams didn't necessarily, and he was up on his own. He's got all these kids to take care of. But there's still the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who said earlier this week they're going to put together an aggressive package to move up and get him. Today, the Cowboys... McFadden.
Yeah, so that's a door that's closed. Indy closed.
But all these crappy teams are still open.
They are, but if I'm the Vikings, you know, do you be as bold as say, give me a first? You know?
Of course you do.
So that's where we're at, and I don't think a team will cough that up.
And that's why Adrian's staying.
You can literally have him decide his own fate, and you won't lose on it. You can't lose.
Either you retire or you're back with the Vikings at 12.75.
And the thing about that is then you put the entire stinking pile of this whole thing right back in his lap. And it's like, you got to go out and make the public case for why you're not coming to work.
But at the same time, don't you think Adrian Peterson wins, though? They both win because the Vikings get Adrian Peterson back who they want, and Adrian Peterson doesn't have to take a pay cut, which everybody thought that he was going to have to.
I don't think that's the leverage for him anymore.
I still think that even if he does decide to come back, he may have to talk about the restructuring of that contract as part of it.
I don't know. This year?
Maybe.
I don't know about this year.
I think they may just say, look, here's the 12.75, come back and run angry through the league. We're coming back next year. We're getting the claw back next year financially. But at this point, I mean, and the other thing is, what does he want? Has he really ever been clear? I mean, does he want Ziggy Wolf to put Kevin Warren's head on a pike and put it out in front of Winter Park? Is that what he wants? Because he didn't like the way he was treated. He didn't like what Governor Dayton said. He didn't like what the Star Tribune wrote about his charitable foundation.
How about beating your children then?
But I'm saying, what does he want?
Yeah.
What does he want? He hasn't been very clear. He says he's uneasy about coming back because of X, Y, and Z. But what do you want? Because what you're going to get in Minnesota is your contract, which you will get nowhere else. You will get to play again. And if a team is not going to, you know, come up to the Vikings' wishes, what are you going to do?
He's not worth moving for a third or fourth round draft pick. He's worth so much more to the Minnesota Vikings. They would look crazy, I think, for trading him for that little. If you can get an upper second, like Mike was talking about, Mike Morris was talking about earlier today, or a first round draft pick, I think then you start getting into the conversation of, okay, well, I might think of this. But Brian Murphy joins us from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. Your answer to that?
Well, I was thinking too, unless he's made it clear to them, to Zimmer and Spielman and maybe even the Wilfs, that I am not going to play for you, and I will make it as painful as possible. Is he going to want to play that dirty in the mud? Because he's going to have to go out there and make that case. Like any other player that has a contract holdout, you know, it's always the public opinion needle. You know, well, he should get that money, he shouldn't. But he's already under contract, so what case is he going not come to work?
That's why
I don't like the COO. Yeah. I mean, you know.
He has no choice.
You don't want to melt content either.
It's going to be a really bad place. Being a former player, that's going to be a bad place for him to walk in and try and play again, no matter what happens.
Really?
Whether he comes, yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
all you hear about are players supporting him and coaching.
What else are they going to say?
Okay, well, okay.
All right.
He does owe them
an apology.
The players
are supporting him.
He owes the locker room an apology.
Yeah, of course he does. He's got a long, long road back if he wants to come back to this locker room. The only thing he's got on his side of it is that some players are actually leaving our locker room right now at an exodus pace. But no, he's not going to be in a real good place in that locker room.
And I said this a couple of weeks ago when I was on the phone with you guys. I mean, he's going to have to answer. No matter where he plays, yeah. He's going to have protesters.
Of course.
He's going to have
bluebirds
in every stadium. If he thinks he can just leave Minnesota and put it all in a box and lock it forever, he's wrong. I mean,
that's right.
There's going to be atonement wherever he goes. Now, he may be welcomed as a savior, but this is going to follow him.
Let's talk about this some more in the next break. I think it's interesting, and I think that we'll talk more about free agency. But the way this might settle for him, I think, is a totally different thing than what people realize in terms of what he's going to be facing when he returns to the football field. We know he's going to play. What kind of player is he going to be? How will he be accepted in this Viking locker room now and or any other locker room, any other city? We'll talk about that next.
The fight for the dance happens this week when the Big Ten basketball championships are on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Right. Splitting the defense. Knifing down the lane.
It's time to decide the champion on the hardwood.
Triple pull up from 17. He buried it again. He's feeling it now.
The Big Ten basketball tournament semifinals on The Ticket right after an extended one-and-done basketball show. Saturday at 11:45 a.m.
Oh, yeah! Two-handed smash
on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
Well, that's the signal right there.
Signal for what?
I've got gas.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I do. It's unbelievable. It's been rolly, kind of rumbly tumbly down there.
Tia.
I feel like I could do it anytime I wanted to.
Live long and prosper.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait until the end of the show.
Till the end of the show? Why don't you just go out and hang on? Go to the intern studio over there and go, hey guys, I got a gift for you.
There go the interns. Up in smoke. Hey, they're looking over here at me like, don't you dare come in. They're blocking the door now with chairs. We have Brian Murphy back. I don't have gas, but a lot of people, that worries a lot of people because I normally do. But anyway, I just thought that it'd be kind of fun to play a prank on the guys back there.
That would be hilarious.
Because I'd love to see them with singed eyebrows. Brian Murphy joins. We're going over and haggling again about the Adrian Peterson situation. We invite you to call 651-989-9105. We don't want to hear, if your name is Nelson Peterson, we don't want to hear it from you. We don't want you to talk on behalf of your son, Adrian, the way you have supposedly done in the past. Don't do that. Any of you callers, though, by the way, 651-989-9105 to talk with Mr. Brian Murphy, our guest today in the studio, Ben Holson or myself. I call myself the superstar. I don't know what he's going to do if he comes back. I'd be 100% sure that it's going to be the most awkward situation for Adrian to come back here and play now.
Why though?
In the public, and everywhere he goes with his new wife, with everything that's been happening here.
Well, I want to explore the locker room dynamic because you have two different things. You have a father who did something that's probably it's got mixed opinions in that room. Okay.
Yep.
But as a teammate, you also create a situation where you removed yourself from a team that could have been better for 15 games and have not really publicly come out and said, I need to atone for that and I owe my teammates an apology. So if let's say this plays out either nastier or just quietly and he ends up showing up at training camp. I mean, what would you want to hear out of his mouth in that first sort of gathering? You know, what would resonate with you most as a player and a father or both or neither? If you want to compartmentalize, what's the most important thing he needs to say if and when he shows up?
Number one is, especially if you're one of the older players on the team, say John Sullivan or one of those kinds of guys who've been there for a while, who literally you have your season kind of thrown away by this type of behavior because of what Adrian did. I hope he knows. I hope Adrian knows and needs to tell me to my face, or at least collectively as a group to our faces, that he cost us 1 year out of our career to prepare for a Super Bowl chance. You don't get many. You may get 8, you may get 10, you may have 13 tries. which I didn't get to. But it, when Adrian, who is the absolute face of the squad, no question about it, he rolls up in there and then he's gone. He vanishes because of what happened. Your season is pretty much toast at that point. Being the team we are at this time, he is the proverbial bell cow. And we still found a way to win seven games. I don't know how we did it with Bridgewater. If he had been behind Bridgewater, I don't know what could have happened. It would have been a lot better, though. We would have been, I think, a playoff-type team.
You'll see what happens this year when he is behind Teddy Bridgewater.
I hope you're right.
What happens if Adrian Peterson comes back, though, and doesn't say that apology to the guy? Because he hasn't really necessarily apologized, saying the words, I'm sorry for what exactly I did. He would always say, I'm sorry for the situation.
He's apologized for the behavior and injuring his son. And I believe that he didn't intend to hurt his son.
Not.
So I get that. And he's
Me
been
too.
Contrite on the courthouse steps after he pleaded out and in national interviews that he's given about that. But as far as his teammates, his coaches, his bosses, the organization, the fans, it's been nothing.
But what if he comes back like nothing happened, Dave?
He's not going to be allowed to have that happen. It's not going to be that
Who's
way.
Who's not going to allow him to? Is it going to be the John Sullivan?
The media is going to get on him. I'll be getting on him.
No, but I'm talking about in the locker room because that's what you
would
talk about.
I don't know. That's what I would like to know. I mean,
would
what
John
would you
Sullivan
want to
go up to him and say, hey, Adrian, I think you owe us an apology?
I really think that it's going to occur to him. By the way they're looking at him, by the way they treat him, it's not the same anymore. Maybe what I should do is say, number one, before we get started here, before we get going, I kind of cost this team last year the whole season, which he absolutely did. I don't care. You can say whatever you want to out there. In fact, call me. I dare you to call me, 651-989-9105, if he didn't cost us the season. Or a better chance at making the playoffs, because he did.
They won seven games without him. You got to figure he's worth at least three wins.
They were 10th with a 4.4 yard average with McKinnon, Asiata, and whomever else was part of that little.
Dave Banier, but I'm sure Teddy Bridgewater, his rushing yards.
I think that he has to come out now and say something. If he wants to keep it classy, going into this thing, he was classy.
Hold on a second. A little bit of breaking news. This, according to Bleacher Report, Dolphins Mike Wallace reportedly, quote, likely to be traded to the Vikings.
That's huge.
Minnesota and Dolphins have been talking for the past hour. Mike Wallace.
Honestly,
I don't want that contract, though. That contract is big.
Yeah, but they got the room.
Talk about a speed merchant. You want to talk about a guy that's probably close to a 4.2 40? I mean, he runs down the field faster than anybody. Anybody.
But why was he such a disaster in Miami?
I don't think he was. I think he came around very nicely, in fact.
We wanted him when he was on the free agent. But that's the year we signed Greg Jennings, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I like Greg Jennings.
Me too.
And I like the fact
two
that maybe both of them would be on the same team. But you want to talk about someone who can run past defenses? That's one guy right
take
there.
Take the top off the defense. Wow.
Take the top off and make them squat.
According to Bleacher Report saying Mike Wallace likely headed to the Minnesota Vikings.
That's a big pickup. Now, well, there you go right there, buddy. If you wanted something to happen if he does sign, do you consider that a splash or
a pretty big splash. I don't think that that's the necessary position that I wanted to.
What if that little Cordarrelle Patterson thing is involved in that?
Yeah. Well, maybe he is. And that's interesting too.
I don't know about that. That's a lopsided. Unless you're throwing a bunch of.
Well, they're going to cut. As of this morning, the Miami Dolphins were going to cut Mike Wallace.
No,
so
I know
if you
that.
Get anything out of him. But Armando Salgura of the Miami Herald reporting that the Vikings have been on the phone with Wallace for an hour and that a trade is likely. Ian Rappaport of NFL.com, the NFL Network, reported that the Dolphins are actively trying to trade Wallace after dealing for Kenny Stills from the New Orleans Saints earlier today. Omar Kelly of the South Florida Sun Sentinel confirming that report. Kelly reported that several teams are inquiring after Wallace and that noted that if Wallace doesn't restructure his deal, he'll be playing on a one-year deal worth $9.9 million and $3 million of it's guaranteed, owed $11.5 million each year for the final two. My God, that's expensive.
That's a big number.
Whew.
It's a big, big number. But the kid is dangerous. He really is. And his hands are good. He's got good hands.
Who do you trade for him?
It's a trade. They're saying trade. I don't know. That's probably a draft choice and another player. Ooh, Adrian. I don't know.
No, that name would have come out then if that was that. And I don't know if you do. That's a weird.
The story would have been Adrian Peterson likely traded to Miami, not Mike Wallace coming to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, probably unlikely. But they're going to trade. You would think draft choices?
Probably picks, and then if you want to,
Spielman hates trading picks.
But who then?
I don't know.
Jennings?
Jennings.
I don't know. I would say...
Why would the Dolphins take him on? He's got a big number, too.
Yeah, but it's all about production, and they have a young quarterback that they could use some veteran leadership out there, and Jennings would provide that.
It's still a cheaper option than
who else? Jennings, who else would it be? I mean, the only players that they have really able to trade are on the offensive line, defensive line.
Not even that. The defensive line, they're new people. They're keeping these guys like Sue around.
What happens if they're signing Johnson Robeson's gone?
That's what I think can happen. I think that is in the works. I think
Robeson and Johnson
stays. Robeson gone.
That's a heck of a splash. That's the splash I've been looking for.
That's called triangulation, as the Clintons would have it.
Yes, it is. Or the power of
you can't leave now. Seriously,
well,
now
you're not
you have
leaving.
To stay.
He's staying. I've got this right where I want it.
Okay, because we have to. I mean, obviously, with this Mike Wallace news breaking, we need you're a guy.
And you said, by the way, to offer credibility to what's coming out now, you said you know where this information is coming from, the source.
Well, Miami Herald reporter, solid. Yeah, and Armando. Yep.
Okay.
So I buy.
Do you think he's busy as heck, or could we maybe? Do you have his phone number? We can call him.
I don't have his phone number, and I would not want to hesitate. I would not want to call him right now while he's working the story.
And I'm surprised you don't have to run and go write something about this. No. But until something happens, then you probably have to run.
I know one thing. We're keeping him, whether he has to.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck. Enough. We just lock the door.
Just start spewing like we do. Just make it up on the fly.
But as we just found out, Mike Wallace likely headed to the Minnesota Vikings wide receiver, the Miami Dolphins. This according to what's this guy's name? Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald. The Vikings have been on the phone with Wallace for quote an hour, and that a trade is likely.
That's a big one. And for them, I'm like you. I'm a little surprised that they're talking receiver in this case.
Yeah.
I'm really ready for a splash on the middle linebacker thing and or
the guard
and well left guard too, but most of that is gone.
But I would say the guard position is the biggest deal, don't you? I mean that's the biggest.
I think the biggest thing that we have to do is take care of the offensive line.
Yeah,
if you want anything more out of Bridgewater, and
I agree,
maybe not the same kind of running game because he's not going to come back again. If that was what we were leaving off before we got to the breaking news, was what is going to happen with Adrian if he comes back. How great would it be to have an offensive line intact? If he's not coming back, how great would it be to have an offensive line to protect Bridgewater and whatever running back we do find ourselves?
You need an offensive line intact regardless.
You do. Yeah. You just do. It's not finished yet. The left guard is gone. Charlie Johnson is gone. Yeah. So
651-989-9105. We have a couple open phone lines. We'll go to the phones here in just a couple of minutes. We have Ted and a couple others as well. But 651-989-9105. We're all over this news story, according to the Miami Herald, that Mike Wallace, wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, is soon to be the wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. A trade is likely. The Vikings and Wallace have been on the phone for a half hour discussing details. So
come on back, everybody. We got Brian Murphy sitting in with us, and he's going to remain there. He said he would, or I will tape him to the chair. And we'll be back, and we'll talk about all of this right here at Radioactive Sports.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.